The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Beneath the fireworks that lit up the German sky, hundreds of women were allegedly assaulted in Cologne on New Year's Eve. Here are just a few of the women who claim to have been attacked. This victim describes being touched everywhere by a group of men in the main station. While this woman expresses her outrage at police incompetence, saying they were so understaffed that women had no option but to endure the assaults. Since New Year's Eve, police presence has been upped in the square, but if these protesters are anything to go by, perhaps it's too little too late. The victims say the attackers were of Arabic and North African appearance, fueling pre-existing tensions between Eastern and Western values and sexual attitudes. Well, accusations like this, in a country where 1.1 million asylum seekers were taken in just last year, lead to internal divisions. So far, 16 suspects have been identified, but there have been no arrests.
Women are at risk to be touched, like, without consent. They are in risk to be grabbed from behind without knowing it, without knowing who did it. So this is not like new, but like being in a group of men and then like later being robbed and like being in a crowd of men touching dead women, yeah, that's new. We didn't have that before.
Chancellor Merkel has condemned the events as disgusting, threatening to deport suspects as a sign to those who won't abide by Germany's law. And the country's interior minister has blasted the police for failing to do their job, whilst opposing sides of the refugee debate are being further polarized by incidents like this. Not the new year that Germany had anticipated for 2016.
Well, we're off and running on this calendar year, and as that piece there from the Telegraph pointed out, it's not the new year that Germany or Europe had anticipated. When Richard Palmer discussed this subject on Friday's show, at the time there had been 150 criminal complaints filed in Cologne, and now we learn over the weekend that it's up over 500, and that it was also in other cities. It was happening in other cities on New Year's Eve. 133 criminal cases filed in Hamburg, Germany. And of course, we're seeing all kinds of headlines these last few days saying that these attacks were carried out by asylum seekers or illegal migrants, and that they were planned ahead of time on social media sites. It was a coordinated attack. We're also learning more about how many of the facts about these attacks were initially covered up by law enforcement officials, by the news media. But now the story is coming out. Now the facts are finally being told, 8, 9, 10 days on. Cologne has changed everything. People now are doubting. That's what the vice president of the CDU said recently. Cologne has changed everything. First Paris, and now Cologne. Notice this little tidbit of information from the Times. It's actually referring to a report in a German publication, Die Welt, which reported yesterday, according to the Times, that the Federal Criminal Office was drawing up measures to tackle Taharush Gamia. I guess that's how you pronounce that. It's an Arabic phrase. The phenomenon of mass sexual harassment by mobs of young men, which is well known in the Arab world, especially Egypt. You might remember the case of that CBS reporter during the so-called Arab Spring. The Arab Spring that America supported. America was all on board with those mass protests in Egypt back in 2011. And one of the CBS reporters on hand, a woman, she was sexually assaulted repeatedly. That was several years ago. In fact, she was again hospitalized just last year due to the lingering impact of the unspeakable abuse that she endured in 2011. Melanie Phillips had a piece the other day, over the weekend, where she was pleading with the people of Britain to at least be honest. The people in Britain's government, the people in the news media, to be honest about these immigrant attacks, to tell the story, the whole story. She's like a few others. She's shocked by the response, or lack thereof. She's shocked by the cover-up. Phillips writes, the women describe being groped by mobs. She's talking about these cases in Cologne. Groped by mobs who ripped off their clothes and touched them everywhere. Not surprisingly, the police said this was a completely new dimension in violence. Europe's facing a new dimension to this refugee crisis. From the start, however, there was a neuralgic resistance to identifying these men as migrants. The mayor of Cologne said it was completely improper to link the attackers, who appeared to come from North Africa, with refugees. So she downplayed it. The mayor of Cologne, it says, yet the Cologne police chief, Wolfgang Albers, confirmed that the onslaught had been perpetrated mostly by North African and Arab migrants, a situation he said was intolerable. So first, so many of the public officials and so many in the news media covered up the facts of the attacks themselves. And then once it started to leak out, well, then there was the cover-up on who these attackers were. Even the mayor was one who came out and said, you can't link the attackers to the refugees that, as you know, have been streaming into Germany over the past year. 1.1 million in 2015 alone. The initial reaction of the mayor of Cologne, by the way, very similar to the mayor of Philadelphia in the U.S. and how he responded to the terrorist attack just last week, the shooting of that Philadelphia policeman. This is how the mayor of Philadelphia responded.
In no way, shape, or form does anyone in this room believe that Islam or the teaching of Islam has anything to do with what you've seen on that screen. That is abhorrent. It's terrible, and it does not represent the religion in any way, shape, or form, or any of its teachings. This is a criminal with a stolen gun who tried to kill one of our officers. Has nothing to do with being a Muslim or following the Islamic faith.
This was a terrorist who had pledged his allegiance to ISIS. He stated clearly that he was acting in the name of Allah. He shot the police officer for not upholding Sharia law, and yet right after it happens, the mayor of Philadelphia, he's a new mayor, by the way, just came into office a few days ago. In his first day in office, by the way, he reestablished Philadelphia as a sanctuary city. That was his first act. And so here comes another leader, another city official, coming from the left wing. And immediately he rises in defense of the religion of Islam. Even when the attacker himself admits that he was motivated by religion, going back to Melanie Phillips' piece, she says, let's be honest. Let's be honest about these immigrant attacks. Phillips writes, until now, any implication that the mass influx into Europe of mainly Muslim migrants is not an altogether positive development has been vilified as Islamophobic and a callous dismissal of the plight of refugees. She says, well, some are indeed genuine refugees, but many don't behave like people grateful for any safe haven. They display an aggression and contempt towards both women and the West, which makes untold numbers of them a threat to both. Most, she says, are young men. One-fifth of those who have reached the EU are under 18. Half have traveled alone, and of those, more than 90% are boys. Well, what about all that we heard over the past 10, 12 months? As she says, the plight of the refugees, as if most of them were women and children, as if most of them were families fleeing persecution. So many of them are young teenagers or older teenagers, young men streaming into Europe from Africa, from the Middle East. Phillips cites this survey in Sweden, where they've absorbed quite a lot. Like Germany, they've absorbed quite a lot of migrants coming in from North Africa and from the Middle East. And Sweden is now having to deal with an epidemic of rape. Phillips cites this study from, as I say, 2002, that found that 85% of those sentenced to at least 2 years in prison for rape were foreign-born or second-generation immigrants. 85% of the cases. And she cites another study in her article, which found that immigrants from North Africa were 23 times as likely to commit rape as Swedish men. Ann Coulter, in her book on Adios America, she talks about some of the same trends, bringing in all of the, and this isn't even coming from Muslim nations, just coming from some of the third world nations in Central and South America, and the customs, the traditions that they bring with them, some of them quite shocking. But how much more shocking is it for the Western media or for Western officials to cover up this activity, these behaviors that are so disturbing? You talk about a culture clash, it's leading, as we'll get into in the next segment, it's leading to one final crusade. It's building, isn't it? It's building to dramatic changes in Europe and Germany in particular. We're seeing the beginning stages of this clash. Melanie Phillips says, of course, Muslim men don't all behave towards women with such violence and contempt, but it is worse than idle to pretend there's no cultural factor fueling such sexual pathologies. It's worse than idle. It's irresponsible and reckless, we could add, to not cover the truth. It's criminal to cover up the truth. She says if men come from societies where women are deemed inferior and non-believers despised, and where the dominant values are honor and shame, it's hardly surprising that the rate of sex crimes against Muslim women and female unbelievers is so high. The West's deep reluctance to acknowledge such problems in Muslim society is nothing new. What continues to astonish is the silence from feminists about the oppression of women by Muslim men. She brings up another example here. She says when this newspaper, speaking of the Times, revealed the scandal of child sex trafficking gangs in the north of England among men of Pakistani Muslim heritage, which had been ignored partly because of the authorities' terror of being called racist. This cultural factor was widely censored or downplayed. They just said it was covered up for a number of years. And then, of course, the facts, as it started to get out, those facts started to emerge. Well, then some of the key facts in those cases were, as she said, either censored or downplayed. Like, for instance, where those men come from, what religion they practice. This piece by Douglas Murray, this is from The Telegraph, and the title says it all here. Cologne exposes a crisis in our continent, yet Parliament is debating Donald Trump. The continent is in crisis, and yet British Parliament, they're debating whether or not Donald Trump can visit the UK. Murray says Europe's going through a period of radical change, but it's facing this with a process of radical self-distraction. Unwilling to face up to our problems, we obsess over the responses to those problems. There have been some startling recent examples, and he goes through them. Anyone that would speak up with a proposal, a solution to the problem, is immediately vilified. Well, that's going to change. Eventually, you can see the public sentiment for many in America. You can see it in Germany. And when the strong man appears and delivers a message that actually proposes solutions to these crises, well, you're going to see some dramatic changes take place in Europe, in Germany in particular. Murray here at the Telegraph, he then covers some of the facts of Cologne, and again, how that this story was largely ignored early on. As the whole world now knows, he says, on New Year's Eve in Cologne, dozens of German women were sexually assaulted, apparently by some of that country's more recent arrivals. For days, the media across Europe declined to even report the story. It was only because of new media that the story began to get out at all. Then when the media did get around to reporting the story, they covered it in that now familiar way, which suggests their job is not so much to report the facts as to negotiate between the facts and their fear over how the general public might react to those facts. Perhaps we should be grateful that there is any coverage a week after the attacks. After all, it took more than a decade for 1,500 rapes in the north of England to make much news. It took more than a decade. All those hundreds and hundreds of cases of rape, many of the victims barely out of their preteen years. Murray says yesterday, the Guardian, where any male doing anything is usually a demonstration of rape culture, finally ran a piece. The Guardian, this is the left-wing Guardian, finally ran a piece suggesting that perhaps we shouldn't cover up actual, real rape culture such as that in Cologne, conceding that it hadn't helped much with Rotherham. That's the Guardian now fessing up. Well, maybe we should have been more willing to look into the facts, to dig into these stories, and to expose the truth. Under the furious light of day, it says the piece was predictably hailed as brave and controversial. This is Douglas Murray writing about a piece. I didn't look at the piece myself, but writing about The Guardian, The Guardian's confession, and how it was hailed as brave and controversial, because today it has indeed become brave and controversial to report the facts. Thinking aloud about any of the repercussions of those facts, however, remains the pursuit only of a madman, for someone to actually talk about the facts and propose solutions. Well, he has to be a madman. He has to be crazy. He has to be racist. Murray says this is a shame because some free thought and discussion about what's going on could have been useful at an earlier stage. It might have been good, in other words, to have a discussion on this earlier on in the process. Earlier on, when the gates were opened and when the refugees started streaming in, maybe we should ask up front, how is this going to impact our nation, this continent? Will these cultures clash? Why are there so many young men coming in on their own? Young, healthy, active men. Looking at it physically, they're just flooding into the continent. And now you see these large-scale coordinated attacks. Later on in Murray's article, he says, but this is not only a police problem. He's talking about these attacks in Germany. It's also a societal problem. This week saw the first anniversary of Charlie Hebdo, and 1 year after the day itself, a man was shot dead while trying to storm a police station in Paris. I believe that shooter, or rather that attacker, that terrorist, came from somewhere around Cologne, Germany as well. Murray says bad news stories like this from across the continent come in thick and fast these days, but what are people to do? Well, one option would be to deal with the problem. Another is to partake of the sort of distraction offered by the folks of Twitter. He then refers to the reaction on Twitter to a comment that Donald Trump made about that attack on the Paris police station. That Paris just announced that terror threat is at the highest level. And then Trump said Germany's a total mess. Big crime. Get smart, he said. And he was clearly referring to two separate problems, but it didn't matter on Twitter. They took that short message to mean that Donald Trump was an idiot, that he was thinking that Paris is in Germany. It says, but the hashtag Paris is in Germany trended all day. Murray says, how hilarious. We don't have to worry about all the troubles our continent has because we have an American politician to laugh at. Never mind the problems. Never mind the crises. We can just find someone to make fun of. And that'll be the big story of the day. Murray says later this month, the House of Commons will discuss the urgent issue of Mr. Trump. This is because last month, Trump said that he wanted to stop Muslim immigration into the U.S. and added that Britain and Europe have a serious Muslim extremism problem. Because of this, more than 500,000 people signed a petition calling for Trump to be barred. Calling for Trump to be barred from Britain. This now has to be debated in Parliament, and doubtless all those MPs who rarely do much about problems they could deal with will grandstand their opposition to a foreign politician who, well, he doesn't care what they think. It says, in the last week, we have been reminded that the British government not only doesn't know who is coming into our country, but doesn't even know who is leaving either. Still, it's all fine so long as we divert ourselves by talking Trump. Perhaps this will be the European habit for some time to come. Perhaps it will finally do for us. Millions of people whose identities and beliefs are unknown have been let into our continent. Many who have been here for a few years continue to present challenges, which are by no means minimal. But there seems to be this belief, he goes on and says, as long as we have individuals like Donald Trump, well, we can focus all of our energy on ignoring the problem. Notice how Murray concludes his piece. This is in the Daily Telegraph. Of course, all one can do, is warn, but it seems to me that if we keep distracting ourselves from the problem and beating up on every response to it, then this continent of ours is going to go very bad, very fast. Well, someone's going to come along, as we've been saying, and face this problem and face these crises head on. That strong man's going to come out of Germany. That's what we'll get into when we come back. We'll look at the impact that this refugee crisis and now these immigrant attacks in Europe. We'll look at the impact that this will have on the continent and on Germany in particular. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. We're back today broadcasting this particular program from our Edstone studio in the UK, the Midlands. If you want to listen to the live stream, you can here in the UK or anywhere you have internet access at kpcg.fm. Send us your emails, your feedback to td@kpcg.fm. We'll try to get to some of those later in the week. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
Well, if you just roll through some of the headlines, really the headlines themselves, they tell you pretty much all that you need to know. Der Spiegel, from January 8th, chaos and violence. How New Year's Eve in Cologne has changed Germany. That's what we need to be looking for. Because Bible prophecy says that Germany is going to change. Europe is going to change, dramatically so. Chaos and violence. How will this change Germany? That's what Spiegel asks. The Telegraph had this headline, January 8, Europe in crisis over sex attacks by migrants amid calls for emergency EU meeting. Europe is in crisis. Many officials, many in the news media, as I said in the first segment, initially tried to cover up the extent of these attacks, but now the news is out. Now the facts have been publicized. Now we're hearing from the many victims. What about this headline from the New York Times yesterday? Germany on the brink. Germany on the brink. That's from the New York Times. That's from the Sunday edition of the New York Times. Well, we were out front in many ways, as I said. Richard Palmer was digging into this on Friday, posting his podcast later under the headline, A Revolution Brewing in Europe. That's the real prophetic significance here. This revolution that's brewing, Germany being on the brink, the fact that these attacks, not unlike what happened in Paris a couple of months ago, they are changing Germany. They are changing Europe. And of course, if you go back to what we were producing posting, printing, there toward the end of last year, 2015. I've referred to you, or to these articles before, as Germany's strongman finally arrived. We've been talking about this for years, but in particular over the last few months. Remember Brad McDonald's piece, Europe's Old Demons Return. History is repeating itself. You look at some of the other headlines, I didn't even have time to bring this into it, into my notes. The popularity of Mein Kampf. The increasing popularity of the far-right groups, political groups in Germany. Europe is in the midst of great changes. This is in the December 2015 trumpet. It says, perhaps the greatest effect of the refugee crisis, together with Russia's dramatic resurgence and Europe's rolling financial problems, is the way it is causing Europe to shed this post-war veneer and return to its past. Europe is returning to its roots. Germany is returning to its roots. That article, Europe's Old Demons Return, it speaks of the end-time leader that the Bible prophesies to come right out of the heart of Europe. It's prophesied in Daniel 8 and Daniel 11. Actually, get your Bible if you have it near you, and we'll look at a few familiar verses. In Daniel 11, this strong individual, a strong man, that's prophesied to lead the resurrected Roman Empire. The empire, as we've said so often, it's really already there. It's just waiting for the leader. It's waiting for the strong man. You already see the clash between these two civilizations, these two cultures, these two religions. You see the early stages of it. And people can try to ignore it. The news media can try to ignore it. City officials, mayors of cities can try to ignore it. But it's there. It's there, and it's becoming more and more visible with each passing day. My father wrote in the article on Germany's strongman, he said, analysts say that Europe's political unification project is about to fall apart without really ever having gotten started. But the Bible reveals that Europe will not only unite, but that it will become a superpower. It specifies that it will consist of 10 nations and that it will be glued together by the Vatican and powered by a political leader in Germany. That's what the Bible prophesies. A superpower is coming, far from falling apart. What we're seeing is Europe, led by Germany, moving to downsize to a much stronger, more efficient, faster moving empire or kingdom of 10 kings. And then there's this clash discussed in Daniel 11. This is verse 40. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. See, it's not about to fall apart. It's coming together, and it's leading to this clash. And so when these headlines, Germany on the brink, when we see those, well, we have to draw your attention to what they say. This is from Ross Douthat, again, in the New York Times, from yesterday, the Sunday edition. He says the issue isn't just that immigrants are arriving in the hundreds of thousands rather than the tens of thousands. It's that a huge proportion of them are teenage and 20-something men. He brings out some of the same facts that Melanie Phillips did. So many of these are young men. teenage men roaming the streets of Cologne, roaming the streets of Hamburg, roaming the streets of Paris. Even one who got hold of a gun in Philadelphia so that he could go shoot a policeman for not upholding Sharia law. It says, this is the New York Times, in the German case, the important number here isn't the country's total population, currently 82 million. It's the 20-something population, which has less than 10 million, or had less than 10 million in 2013, and of course already included many immigrants. In that cohort and every cohort afterward, the current influx could have a transformative effect. If you've just got this group of 10 million in the country to begin with, all of, and that number, as he said, includes a lot of immigrants from years past. But what happens if you keep taking in a million per year, or more than a million? And then among them, so many of them are young, teenage, or 20-something single men. Notice what this New York Times column had to say, this opinion piece. If you believe that an aging, secularized, heretofore mostly homogenous society is likely to peacefully absorb a migration of that size and scale of cultural difference, then you have a bright future as a spokesman for the current German government. But you're also a fool, he says. Such a transformation promises increasing polarization among natives and new arrivals alike. It threatens not just a spike in terrorism, but a rebirth of 1930s-style political violence. History is repeating itself. Europe's old demons are returning. Europe is returning to its roots. This columnist at the New York Times, he concludes his piece by saying it means that Angela Merkel must go so that her country and the continent it bestrides can avoid paying too high a price for her high-minded folly. What a disaster. That's the New York Times. I don't know much about that particular writer. I have not heard of him before. But the New York Times printed that yesterday as an op-ed column. Miss Merkel must go for the sake of the continent, for the sake of Germany, for the sake of solving these crises. Big changes are coming. Cologne has changed everything. Germany is on the brink. This piece from Spiegel, the title of this article, How New Year's Eve in Cologne Has Changed Germany. I referred to this at the top of the segment there. Notice what Spiegel says. This is a pretty thorough look at the problem. I don't know how long the article is. I've printed it out on my printer, and it's about 10, 11 pages. An in-depth look at this chaos, at this violence in Europe, in Germany. This outbreak of sexual assault committed by foreigners, committed by migrants coming in from North Africa. Spiegel says, for some, the events finally bring to light what they have always been saying, that too many foreigners in the country bring too many problems along with them. For the others, that which happened is what they have been afraid of from the very beginning, that ugly images of ugly behavior by migrants would endanger what has been generally a generally positive mood in Germany with respect to the refugees. Well, to this point, we've been absorbing these tens of thousands of refugees, now hundreds of thousands, and it's been going great. This is the new Germany. Multicultural Germany. It says, as inexact and unclear as the facts from Cologne may be, they carry a clear message. Difficult days are ahead. That's the clear message that we can take from this latest crisis. Kicking off the new calendar year. Happy New Year. And oh, by the way, our women are being attacked openly in the streets. Not just in Cologne, but Hamburg and other cases as well. As the facts keep trickling in. Difficult days are ahead. They beg a couple of clear questions. Is Germany really sure that it can handle the influx of refugees? And does Germany really have the courage and the desire to become the country in Europe with the greatest number of immigrants? Spiegel says the first week of 2016 was a hectic one. It sure was. Later on New Year's Eve in Cologne, it was, according to numerous witness reports, drunk young men from North Africa who formed gangs to go after defenseless individuals. They humiliated and robbed, and they sexually assaulted women. Their behavior and the subsequent discussion of their behavior in the halls of political power in Berlin, in the media, and on the internet could easily trigger a radical shift in Germany's refugee and immigration policies. Well, we could add that it could also trigger a radical shift in German politics. It says the pressure built up by the images and stories from Cologne make it virtually impossible to continue on as before. The status quo is not going to continue. One final bit from Spiegel. It says, but this hectic, fervid, and at times hysteric week has also been about much more, namely, it has been about all of the issues that the right-wing populist party, Alternative for Germany, or the AfD, and the xenophobic movement, Pegida, have been shouting about for months. It was about Merkel's refugee policies and the upper limit for refugees demanded by her conservative Bavarian allies. Added to that was the perpetual problem of violence against women. It was about the integration of foreigners, the danger of a societal split over the refugee question, and a shift to the right in Germany. Difficult days are ahead. Big changes are coming. The road is being cleared for the German strongman to emerge. And it leads to this clash of cultures. This clash between the king of the north, or the European beast power, the prophesied seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, and the king of the south, radical Islam. One last crusade. One final crusade. My father wrote back in 2004, just 20 years ago, nobody could have even imagined two world powers coming out of the Middle East and Europe, but God knew exactly what would happen. God knew it. It's prophesied in your Bible. You can look at our booklet, The King of the South, to study this prophecy in a little more detail. I'll just continue with these next few verses here. Verse 41, this is Daniel 11. Verse 41 says, he shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. A great clash is coming. Europe and Germany are in the midst of some great changes, a great transformation. And it's leading to this Christian resurgence in the Middle East. You look at it as it's happening today, and it's going in the other direction, and fast. But the gates will soon close around Europe's borders. And Europe, led by Germany, will finally respond with force to the constant push. The push after push after push coming from radical Islam. That's what's prophesied here in Daniel 11, verses 42 through 43. It says the land of Egypt won't escape from this. Or Libya, Ethiopia. A lot of Muslim countries are going to fall to this European power. It says in verse 44 that other great power blocks are going to be drawn into this conflict. Tidings out of the east, out of the north, Russia and the Orient. But the good news, as the next chapter brings out, is that it leads right into the return of Jesus Christ. All of this is like a countdown to Christ's return to this earth. Verse 1 of Daniel 12 says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." This is talking about the prophesied great tribulation. Jesus speaks all about it in Matthew 24. You can't turn your back on these prophecies anymore. Look at the world we're living in today. Look at what's happening in cities across Europe. Look at how blind so many of the leaders and the commentators are. Verse 3, it says, and, well, let me just read verse 2 as well. It says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." God does make note, amid all of these events, these terrifying events, these prophetic events, he makes note of his faithful disciples, his little flock, that's out there doing a work for God, doing a work of turning others to righteousness, turning people to God, even in the midst of all this corruption and violence. Verse 4 says, "But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." And so this long prophetic vision comes to an end. It starts back in chapter 10, actually. This prophetic vision comes to an end. But you can keep reading the rest of chapter 12 there. And again, see what God has to say about his faithful disciples, about how he'll protect them in the lead up to Christ's return to this earth. Well, go and get a copy of The King of the South and study. I mentioned Matthew 24. Study what Jesus had to say about the last days. Look at the book of 1 Thessalonians. I was doing a study just this morning for a video that we want to tape later today on 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2 in particular, where Paul comes and says to the brethren at Thessalonica, look, here's what's going to happen right before Jesus Christ returns. I don't want you to be deceived about this. I want you to know all the details. And so there's going to be a falling away first. He really did want his brethren, his flock, the members of God's church. Paul wanted them to know what would happen leading up to the return of Christ. That's why Jesus said in the Gospels, we need to watch world events. Keep our eyes on these events, these frightening events, these culture clashes. Watch and pray always, or watch unto prayer, the Apostle Peter said. So much is happening in the world today, it's just really hard to keep up with everything. It makes your head spin. Well, as I say, later today, hopefully we're a little bit behind on our television production, given that I was in America for a couple of weeks, but we hope to tape a program later today that we can post online Friday and also play on the UK television stations over here this weekend. We're coming right up to the 30th anniversary of Herbert Armstrong's death. That hardly seems possible, that it's been 3 decades. We're putting together a program that will feature Raising the Ruins and revisit some of that history, some of that tragic history that took place back in the late 1980s and the early 1990s. That true story of spiritual destruction, deception, and corruption inside the worldwide Church of God that led to so many people falling away from the truth. This past weekend, by the way, we advertised How to Be an Overcomer, the War Against Sin booklet. That booklet that was just produced about a year ago, almost a year ago. And it brought in 118 responses or 118 requests for the booklet. That was our second program of the calendar year, How to Be an Overcomer. The week before that, as I mentioned, I believe on last Wednesday's program, the week before that, we had a program on Let God Fight Your Battles, one in which we offered the Former Prophets booklet for the first time on TV here in the UK. And that generated 192 requests with respect to Raising the Ruins, the one that we'll feature this weekend. I think we offered that at least once last year, maybe twice, I can't remember. But the one time it was just featured on its own, back in May, 7-8 months ago, it did bring in quite a large response for just the 2 stations that we had back then. Now we have 4. And as you can see from the first 2 programs of this year, when you compare it to last year, when we got, I think, 29 calls the first program and then 37 for the second show. This year, we're off and running with 192 and then 118 this past weekend. And hopefully, upwards of 150, 160, maybe 200 this next weekend. So we'll certainly keep you posted about these developments and the stats and the requests that come in as a result. And don't forget, as I said earlier, to continue sending us your feedback. I really do appreciate all of the feedback that we've gotten the last couple of weeks. So many positive comments about all of those substitutes who filled in for me. Richard Palmer on Friday's show. Brent Noctegal the day before that. Some excellent programs over these past 2 weeks. And great, as I said, to hear from so many of you who have sent in your emails to td@kpcg.fm. Just keep those messages coming. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show, kicking off yet another week here in our Edstone studio. in the UK. This is for KPCG, broadcasted there in Edmond, Oklahoma, 101.3 on the FM dial. The live stream, as you know, is at kpcg.fm. Well, thank you for joining us again today, and we'll look forward to being with you again tomorrow.